Father, we come to you thanking you, God. Thanking you, Lord, for just, you're worthy to be praised, God. And Lord, we thank you, God, because you are a holy and righteous God. And you have given us, Lord, the ability, the chance, God, the opportunity, God, to know you and to seek you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord, that you have given to us, God. We thank you that you're still speaking, Lord, because you could just as easily stop speaking and have nothing to say to us, God, and we would really be without hope. But we thank you, Lord. We thank you that even though Easter happened a couple of weeks ago, Lord, that we continue to celebrate it every single day. We continue to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive and is coming back for us, and he has all power in his hand. And we thank you, God, that we are not one of the ones you have cast out, Lord, but that those of us who have placed our faith in you, Lord, who trust in you, God, are being nourished by you and being taken care of by you, God. And we thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that for anybody hearing this message, whether it may be by phone, whether it may be by Facebook, internet, Lord, whatever the method, Lord, even if the recording is late and they see it on the website, God, I'm asking you, Lord, that this word helps somebody to understand you more, God. And Lord, for those who do not know you, for those who have turned away, those who have never come, God, we just ask, Lord, that even in this word, Lord, that you make yourself known to them, God, that they may want to come to you and they may want to be saved, Lord. I thank you for all that you're doing, all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So to our online community, welcome. I thank you for joining in and being with us. There's a couple of us here who are praising the Lord and making this available to you. But so we thank you for joining. But again, this is not for our glory. This is not for a pat on the back for us, but this is all to the glory of God. For the past few weeks, really ever since the coronavirus hit, we shifted our attention to deal with the coronavirus. We shifted from the series that we were talking about, which is, why does the church want my money? We shifted from that series, especially when the coronavirus became national news and the lockdowns and everything. We shifted to talk about that, to address several topics relating to that. And also, we talked about Easter, we talked about communion, but now it's time to get back to the series. It's time to get back to hearing what God has to say about our finances. And this is not a fun topic for me to preach. This is one of those where, you know, I would love to take the easy road out and not talk about something that is so close to people's hearts, which is money. Let's just call it what it is. It's money. But, you know, God talks about money more than he talks about heaven and hell. So I think heaven and hell are pretty important, don't you think? So if God talks about money, and I'm not just talking about the New Testament, I'm talking about all throughout the Bible. If God talks about money as one of the premier subjects, it would not only be unwise, it would be a sin for me to refuse to address something that God holds as important. Amen. So we're coming back to this series of why does the church want my money? In the beginning, we talked about the attitude of giving. Going back all the way to February now. We talked about the attitude of giving. And that was coming from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. You can turn there with me as you do that. We talked about the attitude of giving. We were talking about how we need to think about the amount. And we said that the amount does not have to be 10%. That is not true that you absolutely must give 10%. It's a good starting place, but it is not a rule that you have to give 10%. But we did talk about the law of giving applies. So you sow more, you reap more. You sow less, you reap less. And not only did we talk about did we say we need to think about the amount, but we also need to think about the attitude. Not just the amount, but the attitude. We said we don't want guilt giving, where you're giving out of guilt as if you should be doing better. No, we don't want threat giving, where I come and raise my Bible and point it at you sinners. No. But we want cheerful giving, as was expressed in in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 7th verse. Then we moved on to the next week. We followed it up with the motive of giving. The motive of giving. We talked about how St. John can be rich and famous. Some of us may remember that. How can St. John be rich and famous? And when I said that, I clarified that it is not in the sense of the prosperity gospel. Amen. Amen. We're not trying to be in the prosperity gospel. We're trying to be in the real gospel. We said that the prosperity gospel is all about taking money from the poor, whereas the true gospel is really about giving money to the poor. The prosperity gospel was primarily about ourselves, whereas the true gospel is primarily about others. And we mentioned how if we give to the poor, 2 points, our revenue will last. God will continue to supply. And then also how our reputation will last. And we said that we don't do it for the fortune. Let me back up. I actually said we do it for the fortune and the fame, but just not our fortune and our fame. God blesses us not so that we can be rich, but so that we can bless others. Amen? So we do it for God's fame. Amen. So today we want to continue on that topic and continue to answer this question. Why does the church want my money? So again, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're walking through it. 2 Corinthians, The 9th chapter, the 10th verse. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse. I will be reading out of the Christian standard. Sorry, let me get to it. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 10th verse. Amen. I'm going to give us a couple of minutes. I see people turning to the text. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse. And I'm going to be reading this out of the Christian Standard Bible. You'll find similar words printed in your text. The 2 Corinthians 9th chapter, the 10th verse, reads as follows. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. Amen. I would like to come to you from the subject, the source of giving. The source of giving. Money doesn't grow on trees. Anybody ever heard that phrase before? I learned that lesson as a teenager. for those of you that may not know, I love my parents, and they've been supporting me and supporting all of us when they both raised us. But they did not give us allowance. Amen. No knock on the parents who did it. No knock on you if you got it. But I'm just saying that for us, we did not get an allowance. If I wanted money, I had to work for it. If I wanted to go to the mall, to drive myself to school, go to the movies, hang out, you know, the stuff that teenagers do, it required money. And if it was, and since it required money, I knew I had to work for it. And I think that this mentality is good to work. It's good to work for your money. However, I think that this mentality is what makes giving so hard to do. I know that when we earn this money and we know that we don't have an infinite supply of this money, when we think about giving it away, that thought kind of scares us a little bit. You know, wait a minute. I worked hard for this money. I'm not getting reimbursed for this. You asking me to just give money away? And in fact, you know, if I give money away, what kind of difference am I going to make? And if I give money away, then, well, who's going to take care of me? Amen. And here's the question I want to answer today. Why shouldn't I worry about giving? Why should I not worry? When the Lord is asking me to give, why, when I think about all these thoughts, about all these reasons why I should not give, why should we not be worried about giving? And it really comes down to two major points. Point number one is that God provides the income. God provides the income. Let's look at verse 10. Amen. Let's all look at verse 10 together. It says, the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Some time ago, I preached a sermon called God's Will, God's Bill. Some of us may remember that. And I'm really not trying to preach that sermon all over again, but I gave the example of me going to Poland for my job. And when I talked about going to Poland, I said, well, you know, that's expensive. We had one of our brothers up here and recounting and listing all of the expenses involved in me traveling for work to go to Poland. We talked about the airfare, and we talked about the hotel, and we also talked about the food, and the car ride, and the technology needed, the phone and the computer. We talked about all those things that were needed for me to go to Poland. And I said, you know, in that sermon, I was saying that there was no way I could pay for that. Going to Poland would have cost me thousands and thousands of dollars. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't pay for that. Now, if you can pay for that, please talk with me after this service. But I couldn't pay for that. And we were saying that, but those funds were provided for me. The plane ticket was bought for me. The computer was given to me. The hotel was arranged for me. And they were all done that by the company. Why did the company do that? Because the company wanted to send me over to do a job. If it's the company's will that I go, then it would be the company's bill. The company provided the resources, or can we bring it to this verse? My company provided the seed. Amen. Now, in a similar way, God is providing the seed to us. God provides the income. But I want to zero in on something because I have my notes, but God hit me with something this morning. You see where it says, now the one who provides seed for the sower? In some of your versions, it says supply. God hit me with this. I wish I had thought about this a lot earlier. There is at my job, there is a man who is in charge of the purchasing department. Purchasing, you know, we're buying things. We have it's a manufacturing company. We buy things. And there's a gentleman that's in charge of that. And historically, we called that position the purchasing manager. That's who it would be. And when he came, he insisted on being called the supply chain manager. And it really actually never hit until this morning. Listen to this. Because when he was saying that he does more than purchase, he's a supply chain manager. So what that meant was for that guy, he didn't want to just be seen as somebody who just buys stuff. But he was responsible for making sure that the needs of the company and our materials were met. Why am I saying this? Because the word provide, the word supply, in the original language, it actually was talking about choreography. It's an interesting word. It's a word about it's kind of related to choreography, but it was also more literally a word for the person who trains a chorus, a band, and is also responsible for paying for them. Listen. This hit me. This word is more than just God giving us stuff. See, I was wondering, why didn't we say the one who gives seed for the sower? Why not just say that? There is a special word for that. And the reason why that word provide, supply, is because God is doing more than just giving stuff. But he is coordinating and choreographing and managing and he is making sure all these little pieces come together so that our needs are met. So when he provides seed for the sower, it's not just he's giving it, but he's making sure that the seed, that the resources, the money that we have, he is making sure our needs are met. But listen to it. But look, it says, now he who provides seed for who? The sower. He provides seed for the sower. What is the sower's job to do? To sow. His job is not to be responsible for getting the seed. His job is to sow the seed that was already provided for him. I say that because when we say God provides the income, it is God's responsibility to make sure that everything that we need to do his will is covered. It is his responsibility to make sure that that all those little funny things that are working out, all these things with the government, all these things with the economy, all these things with our jobs, all these things with our houses, the insurance, are we getting a check or not? Stimulus, are we getting a check or not? All these things, that is God's responsibility to make sure that our needs are met so that we can do what? So. That is our responsibility. But then look at point number two. God provides the outcome. We said God provides the income, but God provides the outcome. What do I mean by that? I'm using a lot of work examples. At our company, again, we're a manufacturing plant. And there's times where we have to have a driver go get some materials for our company. Usually materials are shipped to us, but sometimes our driver has to go get them. And so the driver, his responsibility, obviously, is to drive, right? The driver goes to the place and gets the materials and then drops them off at the plant. Are we good so far? Now, the driver is given a car to drive. We just talked about that, right? The driver is given gas money. The driver is given the manifest and everything else that he is or she is needed to make sure that they can get the
materials and bring them to the plant. Now, those materials that are brought back to the plant, the materials that the driver brings, those materials are then used to build the final product. Now, my question to you is this. Is the driver responsible for the final product? The driver has no control over the final product. I want y'all to hear me. It is not the driver's responsibility to build the final product. It is his responsibility to get the materials with the resources that were already provided to him and to deliver them to where the company said to deliver it. That's it. And the rest of the company, that's where you get into production and all that. The rest of the company, that they're the ones that build and make sure that the final product is what it is. But the driver's job is to just go get the resources, which are already provided to him, and drop them off just like the company wants him to. Let me bring this up again. The driver's job is just to be faithful in his assignment. That's it. The driver's job is to be faithful in his assignment. Why am I saying this? It says that the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, I had to look this up. You know where bread comes from? Flour. You know where flour comes from? Wheat. You know where wheat comes from? Wheat seeds. So, what this verse is saying, not only is the one, God, providing the seed, but he's also providing the bread. Not only is he providing the income, but he's also providing the outcome. And all the sower needs to do is do what? Sow. My goodness. I say this because a lot of us think that, you know, maybe our giving really doesn't matter. Maybe our giving, you know, the measly whatever, dollar, $10, whatever I get, it just really doesn't matter. What good am I going to do with that? I'm not going to cure world hunger. I'm not going to get the homeless off the street. What good is my gift going to do? But my friends, God is not looking for us to be wealthy. He is looking for us to be willing. God is not looking for us to have a lot of money. God is looking for us to just trust him with the resources that he gave us and to give as he has directed you. And we're talking about a God that not only deals with what was given, but he finds ways to, scripture says it, multiply. He says he provides seed for the sower and bread for food. And then he'll also provide and multiply your seed and do what? Increase the harvest of your righteousness. Amen? That is God's responsibility. He's got to figure out how he can make a dollar out of 15 sense. He's got to figure out how, even though there are only some of us that give and more of us that may need the offering, that he's got to find out how are we going to multiply this. He's got to figure it out. And the reason I'm glad that he figures it out, has to figure it out, is not just because I'm not that good with financial consulting. I don't have a business degree. But guess what? In the end, he gets the glory. When needs are met, when people are helped, God gets the glory. When Paul is talking to these Corinthians and encouraging them to give to a church that that has no money, they are broke and broke. When he's encouraging them to give to them, he's saying, don't stop giving, because what the things that you give, it's not just about that dollar you give, but God can do so much with what you give. Now we also want to be able to give abundantly as much as God wants, because when we give abundantly, we trust that, man, if God can do this much with so little, what could he do if I give him this much? Oh my goodness, there might not be a room enough to receive it. This cup might overflow with blessing. My goodness. You know, there was another person who made a whole lot of something out of nothing. And I can't really say he's another, because he's God. But, you know, we serve Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of a story where he was given 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he multiplied it and fed over 5,000 men. Men, not including women and children. They say if you include them, the number could be up to 20,000 people. He could feed 20,000 people with a kid's lunch. I bet you that kid didn't even fish for the food. I bet you that kid didn't even work the land for the food. But all he did is say, here, Jesus, this is what I have. You do what you may. And you know, the detail I really like about that is not only did Jesus feed the 5,000, the 20,000, but it talks about the leftovers. 12 baskets full, huh? One for each disciple to carry so that they know that the Lord bless. Y'all, we are serving a mighty God. We are serving a God that literally created everything out of nothing. What is too hard for our God? We have, and we'll talk about this more the next sermon, but we have needs that we have to meet. And a lot of us may think that there's no way to meet it, but do you realize that it is not up to me? It is not up to the trustees? It is not up to our lead givers and our biggest donors? It is up to God. Can I tell you something? In this season, in this last 3 months, some of us have already heard this, God has been taking care of our church. Do y'all realize that membership, especially physical membership over, you know, with the coronavirus, do y'all realize that physical membership dropped? But giving is up? What? Not all praise to me. I didn't do anything. All praise to God. I'm still trying to calculate. I'm still trying to figure this out. The math doesn't add up. See, with God, when you talk about what God can do, how God can do a lot with the little, you can try to calculate, you can try to get the biggest and best financial advisors and plans, but the math will never add up with God because he always abundantly blesses. Amen. So as I close, this Jesus that we serve, who took care of our biggest problem, which was sin, by dying on the cross. This Jesus who was buried, and this Jesus who rose up on the third day with all power, still has that power. If Jesus can conquer death, if Jesus can bear the weight of our sin, if Jesus, let me just make it even more concrete, if Jesus can feed 20,000 people with a kid's lunch, what can he do with that offering that you and I give? See, God provides the income. And he also provides the outcome. He provides the seed to sow, and he's the one that causes it to grow, and the bread comes eventually. And our job is to sow. Our job is just to be a driver, just to use the stuff that God has already given us and do what he tells us to do. And our needs will be taken care of. I'm just going to be honest. I could not write this book because those are some big promises. Those are some big words. But you know what? This book was definitely inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if God is saying that he will supply all of our needs, all of them, and not even just not barely make it, but we're talking about he will coordinate everything, not just give us stuff, but ensure that we are stable, are good, are, and he will make sure of that. That is his, and he's going to make sure that what's done with the money is pleasing to him. He has made it easy. But let me say it not easy. He has made it simple for us, which is just to trust him. And that's really what it comes down to. Look, money doesn't grow on trees, but God can grow money. Let me say that again. Money does not grow on trees, but God can grow money so he can get more glory. He's already said this. But you know what it comes down to for you and me? Do you believe it? It's wonderful. I'm up here sweating and screaming and all this, but do you believe it? That's really what it comes down to. I understand the concerns with the coronavirus. I understand that the economy is going crazy. Layoffs everywhere. Prices for certain things are going up. People not sure. People applying for unemployment, and even that's a hassle. And do you believe that God is going to take care of you? That's it. Are you believing it? Because if you believe, then when God wants us to give to the least of these, to support our church, to support the work that we're doing for the kingdom, not so that I can look high and mighty, not so that we can be bigger and flashier, but because God can get the glory. If you believe that, then your giving should reflect that. I'm trying to end, but you know, God's bringing us to remembrance right now, and he's saying, you know, money, you know, where our heart is, there our money will be, or where our money is, there our heart will be also, right? Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. How we give, or if we give, really reflects if we believe that or not. And again, understand that this is for those that God has supplied. Remember that, Lord, and I'm trying to end this, y'all, I'm trying. But remember that in this scripture, that this money is being collected for those who need it. Paul is not talking to those that need the blessing. He is talking to those that can be a blessing. Can I clarify that? Money is a serious topic, y'all. And it's sensitive, and people get real agitated when you start talking about pocketbooks. And then people start getting guilty because they don't have enough to give, and then they're being required to give. And I want to clarify that God is looking at those that he has richly supplied. And in this case, it was the Corinthian church. And then now it could be some of us. Those of us that God has richly supplied. Not just given stuff to, but supplied. That we be the means of grace to our brothers and sisters who need to be supplied. Amen? See, God is going to supply their needs, but sometimes he uses us to do it. Hello? He uses us. And again, this just comes down to a matter of faith. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God will truly supply your needs first? Because if he will always and truly supply your needs, then when he asks you to do something, you already have that assurance that you are taken care of. And instead of grudging and moaning and laboring about how God is unfair and requires so much from us, we can thank God that he has given us the assurance and the security to be in the position that we are in to help our brothers and sisters.